Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome to a Wednesday morning in the great city of Atlanta. My name is Steak, that's Sandra Golden. We've got a couple hours ahead of sports talk conversation. They give us a microphone, they give us 2 hours, and we are running with it. We take the baton and we run, and we hopefully have great guests and a lot of fun stuff and information and anything going on in our city. Listen on the Odyssey app, man. The app is there for you. It's not just there for our moms. Down in Panama City and Chestnut Hill, they're there for you. Anywhere in, well, not in the world, I guess, right? Because Graf has been texting us. Our buddy Graf, friend of the show, lives in New Orleans.
Voice of the Pelicans.
Yes, voice of the Pelicans, 30-year voice of Tulane, and a guy that moved here after Katrina. We got him a gig for a while, worked at our old radio station. He can't listen on his app.
Is he in Ireland or London?
Yes, I think he's in Ireland.
Okay.
30,000. Do you ever have the friend that sends you the amount of steps they got in a day? Have you ever had a friend do that?
Mm-mm.
He sent us. He did 31,000 steps yesterday, which is, I think, like, somebody has to do the math. I think it's like 14, 15 miles or something like that. So a lot of Americans over there in Europe. Have you seen this thing in Barcelona? As if my daughter didn't have enough stuff getting essentially mugged and losing her phone.
Yeah, whatever happened? Did you get it all taken care of?
No, not totally.
A few weeks ago, you guys, Sophie was out in Barcelona and somebody distracted her and ended up stealing her stuff.
Yeah, right in her face. Some man came up to her at a cafe and scared
her.
She's okay, but it's been stressful. It was last week. And then they're walking around Barcelona with squirt guns and squirting tourists because never had there been more tourists. It's not just like anti-American. I think it's in general because everybody's in Europe and there's like billions and billions and billions of dollars of money pouring in there in the summer. I'm sure we all have friends that, you know, are like over there this time. This is the time of year,
sure,
right? You'd go, they're in Barcelona or they're in London or they're in France or they're traveling in Tuscany or maybe they're not. But they're just, this is a time when families take vacations. If you can afford it, that's awesome. But there's a big backlash. So I was like, I do not want to hear about getting harassed on top of everything else. And, of course, it's happening in Barcelona where my daughter is. At least it's just a squirt gun. It could be worse, right? They're just walking around. You see the footage. They got these big squirt guns, the powerful ones, and they just, like jackasses, walk up to a tourist, American tourist, and just start squirting them for no reason. As like, go home. We don't want you here. So
not as if. That's exactly what
they
mean.
That's exactly
in case you didn't get the message.
Right. So
gosh, that's pretty awful.
Yeah, that's not fun.
Back up though too. Do you remember the day was how many steps you got in and then it was Wordle. I got the Wordle in three. Like there's been these trends where every morning people are waking up or something throughout the day of a check-in.
I mean, I don't know that it's changed on the steps thing. I think people are obsessed with it. It's the number one thing I love about the Apple Watch. Is that folks, and now the word 10,000 steps, 10,000 steps.
Yeah,
you've heard that, right?
Yeah, I have.
That is the point of debarkation, whatever it is.
Your daily, that's what you should be doing.
Yeah, I mean, everything you read is the 10,000 steppers are going to live longer than the non-10,000 steppers, for whatever it is. It's like, you know, drilled in our head, that whole thing. What's the other one you mentioned?
Wordle. That was a big one for a while. A group of friends with the Wordle.
Do you know how much money the New York Times makes on those games? Like you know how the team they have, hundreds of people, and I'm not, and I feel super like ignorant because a lot of people, including my daughter, I mean, she's all over it. I got buddies. First thing they do every morning, there's three or four of those games. What's the most popular ones? You play them at all?
Not at all, but we have a group of friends that I was like, please take me off this text immediately. But they love it. I mean, listen, shame on me, but there is one now, Advance More Than Wordle, because I guess folks got bored with the Wordle.
Well,
I'll figure out what it is. Somebody let us know on Twitter, at SportsAndra.
There's groups. There's all kinds. No, there's a ton of games. The New York Times has changed their entire business model
Is that
on the
right?
amount of people that are like millions that are playing those
so
games.
So I'm dumb. It costs you to play Wordle. You have to download. So where do they make their money from?
Well, you got to pay to subscribe to the New York Times. There's a paywall or something for.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, they're making crazy. It's now what every other newspaper that's trying to survive wants is to be able to provide that as well. It's a whole business model. I guarantee you, we have hundreds, if not thousands, of people listening that are all about those games.
Yeah, sure. So let us know. I mean, and I do think they say it's a great, great way to get everything stressful off your mind because it occupies a space in your brain that doesn't allow you to worry. It's just like use your brain for good.
The whole thing about you can't be grateful and angry at the same time, like mm-hmm. there's a scientific actual brain study. You cannot hold both emotions.
It's true.
It's impossible for them to live in the same place. You can be grateful and happy, but you can't be grateful and angry at the same time. So that's something they talk about as well. Listen, we're just radio. We're not that smart. You know, we are just not that bright. Now, or we wouldn't be sitting here talking about like the NHL,
I didn't want to bring that up, State, because you were so adamant, and whoever gave you that terrible information about Edmonton.
I wasn't that adamant at all. I asked you, do I take Edmonton? You said yes.
Last night, I would have said it's going to go one more.
And you also said you were even worse, and I give you credit when you're right. When they won game four.
It's over. Yeah, they came back from 3-0 in Edmonton. I go, it's over for
right.
sure.
They're done.
Now, I do want you to recall, though, when before game one, I said to you, Florida's the best team, and they have the best line in all of the NHL. And I said, I know that you put a little something on Edmonton. So,
no,
but once they started playing, and plus I was just pulling for Canada, they really have nothing. Canada has nothing but hockey.
That was embarrassing for Edmonton.
Holy smokes.
Got absolutely smoked two games in a row. I mean, that's 2 years in a row.
It was
in
really
the finals.
Three. They came back with an unlikely win, but man, oh man, no. South Florida.
Yeah, that's a dynasty, man. And boy, did their GM, like Alex Anthopoulos, they went out and got Brad Marchand from the Bruins, and he literally won the Stanley Cup for him. He was ridiculous.
He was phenomenal.
How good he was. But anyways, so that's what we talk about. And then it would be good if you think anybody in this office plays it on a regular basis?
Wordle? Probably
any
Abe.
Of them.
Yeah, I bet a lot of them do. Abe probably
I don't think
does.
So. No? I would not say a lot. I would say Abe might be the only one.
Okay, Joe Patrick's here. He's smart. He probably does.
You don't play any of those New York Times word games, do you, every morning? Like, it is like a part of a routine. I have a couple of buddies that they make a lot more money than I do. They're a lot smarter. So I've traveled with them. They start their day with that.
I got a lot of moms that do it. My friends that are moms,
oh, they're
they
not
do
smart.
It.
They're not smart.
I lost a really big win streak on Wordle.
There you go.
With a word that I'd never even heard of before.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what?
Oh, that was it? You were out?
Wow.
Yeah,
look
this is like a 60 freaking, like a 2 month long win streak.
Streak, really?
And I was dancing all around the word. I'm like, what the hell is that word?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm done.
Okay.
With you guys.
I'm
making
just
up words.
So maybe there's a topic for later. It is fascinating, the phenomenon. I'm going to read into the business model of that as well. But we got biggest Braves win of the year, I could argue.
100%.
Last night, so let's get to it.
I was already in my head composing a tweet of, I hate the Braves, they're the worst, it's a terrible loss, this season's over, and then boom, yuckamuckus. Marcell Ozuna, the hero, it was a two-out, three-run double, we tie it up, fast forward to the 10th inning, Austin Riley, sacrifice fly for the win, 5-4, Braves come back to win it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we've seen plenty of scenarios where we think we're getting over the hump and it doesn't happen, and we hope this propels us. But I would say in terms of luck, that ninth inning when Luke Williams is caught off a second base you're ready to see one of the worst base-running blunders, and we've had a few of them this year. Mets throw to the wrong base. Luke Williams, who is caught in between second and third, ends up on third, which is why he was able to score with less than two outs on the Austin Riley. Marcell Ozuna, you can't have a more clutch hit. Two outs. You had bases loaded, nobody out. You weren't going to score anybody. Ozuna's got two strikes on him. You don't just single in a couple of runs to get close. You put it in a place down in that left field corner where Not even close. Everybody gets to score.
Ozuna's doing the windmill, like get on home. And then Ronald Acuna's catching the ninth, they're saying is the play of the night, that he goes back and to all the way to the wall. You think that thing's going in the chop house. He reaches up, not only a great catch, but the wherewithal to double up at first, two outs. Juan Soto's out, and Pete Alonso's out, and here we go. I felt like the Braves gods were finally shining on us. Again, we'll go tonight. We've got Chris Sale. We've got Paul Blackburn. That is a 7:15. And ladies and gentlemen, it's the Usher bobblehead night. So you can start lining up around now. First 15,000 get it. They showed it last night on the broadcast. And then Usher has also thrown out the first pitch. The other thing about the Braves you should know is what? Jurickson Profar began his rehab stint last night in Gwinnett. And Brian Snicker said he's playing the whole game, and he did. He ended up going 2 for 3, a couple of singles, a sac fly, a walk. He led off, and he didn't play the entire game. He is eligible July 2nd to be a part of this Braves lineup.
Well, nobody has ever wanted to be a factor more on a team than Jurickson Profar. An absolute disaster. A brand new team whose number one move in their offseason was signing him. He literally is suspended right out of the gate, 80 games. I'm sure he was humiliated. His agent was humiliated, everything about it. But, boy, do they need him to steady, you know. Well, first of all, just to put something in the lineup now that, you know, put him in the two-hole, put Acuna in the one-hole, and let's go to work. So Jurickson Profar coming back is huge.
Atlanta Dream and New York Liberty last night in New York. If you tuned in and they were up by 17, I hope you didn't stay tuned because they blew a 17-point lead with 3 minutes and change. Liberty ended up winning it 86-81. They'll play Friday in Atlanta if you want to go down to the Gateway Center. Washington comes to town. Oklahoma State, Indiana tomorrow night, but the news comes out. In fact, it is official. Tyrese Halliburton has a bad calf strain. How bad? He had an MRI late. The results are not in. That was just late yesterday.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably an injury he'd be out weeks for.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
If it wasn't the finals. He said he's going to play. We'll talk about that later on. Is it the coach's job to say, buddy, I know you want to go at it, but you literally didn't have a field goal last game in 30 minutes. You were 0 for 5 from the floor. You had 4 points. That's not helping you. There's got to be somebody on the bench. We'll talk about that. And the Stanley Cup champs are the Florida Panthers. They win again. They're a dominant franchise. They have the biggest names in the business. Another title for South Florida. Another level of jealousy for Steak Shapiro. Watching all these markets get titles in hockey of all sports. And meanwhile, Canada, I mean, they're just watching the Carolinas and the Nashvilles and the Vegas's and now another title for Florida saying, what about us?
What happened?
Montreal, yeah. Edmonton, Vancouver, Winnipeg, Toronto, Zippo. Anyway.
We say that tongue in cheek, but I'm not kidding. It's a day of mourning in the world that is Canada this morning. I have good friends up there and they are devastated.
They were terrible games.
There's a lot of Molson Golden drunk last night.
When we come back, I heard Mikey and the guys talk about the Falcons' top 20 factors this season. I'm going to tell you the 6 games. I've been looking at the schedule, thinking about traveling to some games. The 6 games, not only that you want to be at, but that'll probably decide whether this is going to be a special season for the Falcons. We'll do some of that when we come back. Lots more on the Braves. Sports Radio 92.9. Hey, it's 9:25. Sports Radio 92.9, the game. How many of you are playing these New York Times or whatever game it is? Why do you do it? What kind of a mental relief does it provide or challenge, or why is it a part of your routine? I'm just reading a lot more about it. In 2020, more than 28 million people played at least one of those games. But from 2022 to 23, the number of average daily users went from 880,000 to 2.6 million within a year.
Was it the COVID year? Because it seems
no.
to me. Oh, okay.
COVID year was 20.
Mm-hmm.
This is 22 to 23.
All right.
The active users. So you have to get a subscription. They're making a ton of money on it. They have an insane amount of people. I don't know. And what's the best of all those games? And how do you start? Like, Wordle is like the what do they call it? The gateway. Wordle was the gateway, and now there's just countless other ones. If you have a thought on it and you're listening, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. I'm curious about
that. I like
that.
A habit in the morning, too, to whether it's you get up and stretch or you meditate or you're doing a crossword, another crossword puzzle, Sudoku, whatever it is, water. You know, anything but picking up your phone and seeing what TMZ is, you know, that's, they say, is the absolute
worst.
Keep
your phone away from you. You know, at our age, it's all about there's a stretch thing, there's a meditation thing, there's, exercise obviously is the best way to start the day in terms of clearing out, mind, getting you in the right mindset.
I'll tell you this, that my husband and he has had a hell of a year.
Not a good year.
His brother passed and his back. I mean, when I tell you his back went out, you hear, you know. So he started this stretching regimen. We have a great, great class out at the lake, and literally it's for us old people. But the stretching, and there's a lot of men in the class, but then this cold plunge with the sauna, and then the stretch that is a religious
experience
for all of it. And he does it two or three times a week. When I tell you the difference, it is phenomenal. Yep. Even his attitude and, I mean, all of it, I can't say enough.
Yeah, my
he would have poo-poo a stretch class or a yoga, but that's all-encompassing when they do it, and I can't recommend it enough.
I never thought I would start. I'm like the Tin Man. Like, I can't start my day unless I have, like, the oil, you know, you got the oil thing to get you moving. Like, I got these bands now.
Funny. Yeah.
I'm on the ground. It's like, what is going on? I got to do all this just to be able to attack the day.
You know what seemed to go out the window, and you used to do it a lot, is the spin. I haven't heard you say, you guys were religious.
My buddy's gym closed.
There's other gyms that have a spin.
Yeah, I know.
Well, by the way, him gym closing might tell you something, because it used to be another girlfriend's. They bought the Pelotons, and it's just like anything.
Well, here's what I'll give you a little insight into the gym world, if you'd like it. So one of the problems with these cardio classes, right, especially in affluent neighborhoods, is people are losing so much weight on Ozempic and these other drugs that now weightlifting is different, or personal training, which is about weights and as you get older, or just lifting weights in general. But the folks that were going to these cardio classes to keep pounds off and weight had the money to lose it on these drugs. So it's been hard for businesses, because now you have, like, if you used to get 45 people on a bike in a morning class, now there's half of them because now they're skinnier than they've ever been.
Yeah, but I also, with all due, now I'll talk to my Macon people out there, the real people that are, I think that your body needs a different kind of changing up. So those of you that were going to the spin, or what was that, CrossFit, all of those trends are changing.
Yeah, but that's, I'm talking about specific
money
class.
With the spin.
No, specific classes for cardio, which is losing weight. And I'm talking about neighborhoods where these gyms were. So the mommies, the buckhead mommies, were trying to lose weight. Now they're all on Ozempic. They've lost the weight. So if you're in weight training, lifting weights, you're fine, because you have to keep doing that, or CrossFit. I'm telling you that the spin class is intended to burn calories. And now, don't you see those Ozempic faces all over Buckhead, those sunken faces and everything? Like, you go to some of these fancy towns like New York and L.A., and everybody's on the shot, they call it, right?
Yeah.
Is that what they say?
Yep.
What do you and your girls call it? What's the term?
I don't know. I know if any of my girls are doing it. But
they're just not telling you. They're not telling.
Well, I would notice if they lost 30 pounds.
Oh, they haven't.
It's, they're not. They're, that's not. Yeah.
So your friends are still.
Yeah. And they're. But I find it interesting. My pivot is to, I think we constantly need to be challenged because we get bored with whatever, whether it's the spin class or whatever. That's why my friends that have this massively successful Bennett boot camp up in Windermere.
Yeah, I've seen her.
They constantly change up your class. So you go in there and your brain needs to be challenged. Forget the muscles. Your brain needs to be what are we doing today?
Teaching you new stuff.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
All right. So now that we've rambled on about all this.
No, I think health and fitness is always pertinent and importante. There you go.
You're the one that introduced me to, what is it? Fast Twitch. You literally introduced me 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm still going to Roman Fortin, who played for the Falcons, who played for the Chargers, who's a grandfather now of like 30 kids.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. We're to have him in here, but he's always teaching that damn class. Hey, the Falcons road to a playoff berth. The Falcons road to success. Something that Smoking Joe Patrick, who's, I mean, this poor guy's got to do the same interview 10,000 times, right? They're always asking him the same stuff. You were on last night too, weren't you, with Chris?
I'm on all the time. Yeah. Mondays and Fridays with Chris. Okay. Yeah.
So I'm just looking at, I know you were talking the other night, I heard you on Monday, that nobody's picking the Falcons to win the division. I assume if you asked 100 NFL writers, Tampa gets 80 or 90 of those votes.
I would think so. It's the conventional wisdom. You know, no one wants to look like an idiot. So the smartest thing to say is,
why would I pick a team that hadn't been in the playoffs in 7 years, right? So they're going to pick Tampa. And then I would say the split is then between Falcons and Carolina, because the Carolina defense is impressive. Bryce Young, the way he ended the season, they've added some pieces. So they're the sexy pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
Falcons
yep,
aren't
absolutely.
A sexy pick.
Right.
Falcons have talent, more talent you would think they've combined. So I'm just going to tell you that, yes, I am drinking the Kool-Aid, and I believe that we are going to win the division, and I do believe that this is the way the NFL works. When you pick in the top eight this many years in a row, when you spend two number ones on your biggest need, which is on the defensive side of the ball, when you have guys about to become NFL superstars, and I say Drake London's about to be that. He's a top six or seven wide receiver. And why am I not thinking of our star running back? What the heck is wrong with me?
Bijan,
right? So Bijan and Drake are going to be superstars in the league. I don't know about Michael Penix yet. It's way too early in three games to say he's going to be the talk of the league. But I will say that there are certain games that you have to, and I don't play the that's a win, that's a loss game. I'm just going to tell you some of the most important games. And I would put the opening game against your division rival, a team that you swept last year that has every intention of not losing twice to the Falcons, right out of the gate, you're setting a tone. You set the tone last year. Yes, you went 6-3 at one point, but you set the tone when you filled the building up for the Steeler game, when you had Kirk Cousins come off of injury, and you right out of the gate lost to a Steeler team that did not score a touchdown in that game, and that, I would argue, set a horrendous tone for the year. Like, maybe it's not going to be different this year. Maybe it's not going to be different. And you know what? It wasn't different.
It wasn't
different. Because Kirk Cousins was bad in that game, and he was fine later on, but he was one of the biggest issues. So Sunday, September 7th, opening day, 1 o'clock, your building will be full. Georgia fans will obviously be in there with the Jalen Walker jerseys, right?
Yep.
And you need to find a way. That's a huge game right out of the gate. You go to Minnesota, you got Carolina. If you want to know how to captivate your fan base, you got a 1 o'clock start against the Washington Commanders 3 weeks later. That's an enormous game for the Falcons for a number of reasons. First of all, there's going to be a ton of Washington fans in the building, just like the Buffalo fans that'll be there the following week. You have back-to-back home games where, sorry, there is no chance that they don't flood the building, especially Buffalo fans.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, if it's week 14 and you're good, you're fine. But you're not there yet. But
Monday night football.
You're talking about Buffalo.
Buffalo, yeah.
Yeah. I think the Washington game is huge.
Yeah.
They're an NFC team. You played them in overtime last year. You open with Tampa week one. You're at home against Washington week four. Those are two of the most important games of your season. And what's your litmus test against Washington and obviously, everything that they have going on in the season they had with Jaden Daniels and company. I'll give you the other four later in the show, but those two games right out of the gate, first 4 weeks, are going to help determine the success of your season. When we come back, Brian Snicker says, we finally did what we were supposed to do. We'll hear from the Braves locker room. And the best coaching hires in college football in the last 25 years, Kirby Smart is not even number one. He's not even top three. How is that possible? Wait till you hear this list. Give us 6 minutes. We'll play it for you. Sports Radio 92.9. Braves welcoming Usher bobblehead. Is that what it is tonight?
Oh, yeah.
They ain't dumb. They know what greases the wheels there on a Wednesday night with a lot of folks traveling and school out and all the reasons that you want to find a way to get a weeknight attendance that blows the roof off the place. Although I heard Glavin and Frank Gore last night. Very, very fun watch last night. Brandon Godden, Jeff Frank Gore, who does not do many games at all, right?
Right. Yeah, I love that.
He does a handful.
Yeah, he does a ton for MLB. He's moved on up.
Yeah, yeah.
He's done with us.
They're on the entire series.
Oh, I love it. They are so good.
Yeah, Frenchie.
Jeff brings out the best in Tom.
I like that. Their banter is really good. And they're big Braves fans. And you hear
they love rain delays.
Were they talking about that last night?
They had a bet who was going to get – Weirdon was first pitch – and that this one had to pay that one, and they were when it got close to it, you know, they thought they were going to go into multiple extra innings. They were like, "Oh, great!" You know, very sarcastic, which I enjoy.
Okay, yeah. So they did a great job last night.
Yes.
But why are we? What were we referring to as it relates to
the Braves? Know what? How to get you to the ballpark?
Oh, right, right.
Yeah,
on a Wednesday night, yeah. On bobblehead night. Although that's what I was saying. They said it's the loudest they've heard the building, the Azuna Double, down the line. They're like, I can't remember this place being this loud, certainly all season. I mean, think about the Azuna hit. You're losing another game to the Mets. You got two on. You got a bases loaded. There is no bigger clutch hit. Like, literally. It's as clutch as it gets. You are losing the game. You're not scoring three in the ninth, given what's happened lately. Like, you've already blown the first two at-bats, which was Olsen and Riley. With bases loaded, Olsen strikes out, and then I think Riley pops out on the first pitch. And you're like, we're literally blowing a bases loaded,
outs,
nobody out.
Here we go. Yeah.
And then Azuna goes down the line. But anyway, that's tonight with Usher. Let's hear
last. Usher throwing out the first pitch, too, if you want to get there early, you guys.
Snit, last night, one of the worst stats of the Braves have been these one-run games. Last night was the opposite. You get the run in the 10th, right, to make it 5-4 and you survive a base running blunder, and all of it for Brian Snicker knows. Let's get that monkey off our back.
No, that's hopefully something that kind of gets us off the mat and should, you know what I mean? Because we've had some heartbreakers in one run losses, so it's nice to get one like that.
0-10, their last 10 one run games. Also, Brian Snicker talking about a number of things, including his closer last night.
Now that was big for him. I think that's a really that's a big game for him because he's kind of working his way back into being a guy again. And I think he's had like three in a row now, maybe four. But see some really good signs, which is really good because we're going to need him and Dylan too. So you know, we'll probably just continue to mix and match those guys. But that was good for Iggy.
11 pitches, 8 first strikes, didn't allow a hit, was Raisel Iglesias, and they both said it, how important that was for him to get out of that. Dylan Lee also threw an inning, gave up a hit, and 11 pitches into it as well. Done.
Austin Riley also speaking about the Azuna at bat.
Yeah, I told him I love a team sport. You know, obviously not being able to get it done right there, and then he come up with a big hit. That was huge. Yeah, I mean, that was... you know, it's what he's there to do, and you know, I feel like he's real calm in those moments, and like I said, a huge swing for us.
That's exactly what it was. It was a huge swing in a game that was going south after a rain delay, kind of a listless night in terms of offensively, and Marcell Ozuna jump-started. Listen, if they go on a run, we're absolutely going to look at last night as a catalyst. Also, the Ronald Acuna play after a horrendous second inning kind of blunder that scores two when the Mets go up 3-0. He makes the play of the night with the catch and the double play. And here's Austin talking about that.
Pete's a strong, strong man. You know, I really didn't think it was going to carry as far as it did, but it, you know, it ended up doing that. And just an unbelievable catch, unbelievable. And to be able to heads up play to get the ball back in to double him off right there. That was huge.
Yeah, that was
unbelievably
top of the
huge.
Yeah, I mean just Woo! You have to make big plays when it matters. And when Acuna bumbles that play in the second inning, it's just like, dude, that is as hot as he's been. I mean, that was just, you know, it was a freaky ball down the right field line that Acuna couldn't handle. Next thing you know, you're down on the whole 3-0, then you're down 4-1, and you're like,
Here we go, another loss.
Yeah, we're already sending our notes saying, I guess we're not in a good place in this Mets series because right out of the gate. So, huge tonight. You're giving the ball to Chris Sale. We know what he's capable of. We know that he has the absolute mindset that I have to go out and absolutely shut down the Mets, who have been struggling of late. I don't care what anybody's doing struggling. You know, Padres came in here struggling. You saw what happened. Who was it? Arizona had come in here. Everybody's struggling when they come in here, and you know what's turned around and happened. Well, you get the first of seven. You get seven with the Mets. You get the first of seven last night. It felt really good. All right, ready to do a little bit of tailgate?
Yes, please. I want to update you on the College World Series because then there were four left. Coastal Carolina and Louisville will play today at 1. LSU and Arkansas will play tonight at 6. The two undefeateds are LSU Bo, fully decked out today in his purple and gold, and Coastal Carolina. So the 1 o'clock game, if Louisville loses, they're out. If Arkansas loses at 6, they're out. So then it'll be LSU and Coastal Carolina, but a lot can certainly happen in a double elimination. These games have been tremendous. If you watch Louisville and Oregon State, it went back and forth. Oregon State ties it up. Louisville comes back, walks it off for the win in the night, and bounces Oregon State. It's as good as it gets if you get a chance to peek at that baseball. Bo, have you been able to watch any of it?
I've been able to watch. So we had it on in the Truist Club both games yesterday.
Oh, good, good, good.
Yeah, every chance that I've gotten, I've been able to watch most of it.
Good. CBS Sports did I think one of the better articles, you guys, because it is that time of year where they're like, what in the world are we going to write about when it comes to college football? We're just kind of counting down to camp. But in the last 25 years, the top 25 coaching hires in all of college football. So you say we're close to it. You're like, well, gosh, Kirby Smart's got to be up there. He's up there, but is he high enough? I'm not going to waste time with all 25, but I will tell you the top five. Kirby Smart is at number five.
Yeah, just added Jim Harbaugh at Michigan. So give you some idea,
he's six, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, Kirby's got two titles. Harbaugh has one. But what Harbaugh did when he showed up in Michigan, that's the kind of transformation you're talking about. In some cases, I mean, the criteria needs to be based on how far down was the program when you got there, how big was the success once you took over, how much did you elevate the program, and how long did you keep it elevated at a certain level. The only thing separating Harbaugh from Kirby is I think that Kirby's got two national titles and Harbaugh's not even coaching there anymore.
Right, not there anymore.
He's got his one, yeah.
At number four, I think a bit of a surprise was number four, Pete Carroll at USC. He was there at 2001, has two national titles, 7 Pac-10 titles. He went 97-19, 2 Heisman Trophy winners. Am I scratching my head that I didn't remember? Probably. I'm so young, I didn't remember that.
Two national titles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
7 Pac-10 titles, 2 Heisman Trophy winners. So, his resume is complete. Kirby's continues, but I don't have a problem. That's a pretty significant record for Pete Carroll.
Number three, shout out to Clemson, Dabo Swinney. First season, 2009, and I don't think Dabo was the first 6 of their preferences.
Yeah, his first game was against Georgia Tech. Remember it well.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Who is this guy? This ho-hum kind of sleepy.
Tommy Bowden gets fired. He was a wide receivers coach on that team and is like, okay, golly gee whiz. And lo and behold, he has a couple of national titles and 9 ACC titles. And y'all, they're predicted to finish in the top 5 this year. At number 2, Urban Meyer at Florida. 2 national titles, 2 SEC titles, a 65-15 record. He also took over a program that was pretty doggone good back then, right?
The Gators had Steve Spurrier, so, you know, they weren't exactly in the doldrums. He had 6 seasons there. 3 of them were 13-1 seasons. And then, of course, you know, the NFL players that rolled through there, including Tim Tebow, the most popular Gator of all time.
I think the more important resume, and I say important, what Urban Meyer did at Utah, at Florida, and then, of course, at Ohio State, I mean, that's even
it's hard.
Sick.
He's a hard
guy.
He's a hard guy to root for. but he's not a hard guy to put up his resume and go, man.
I'm pretty good.
You know, Urban Meyer is a legend at numerous places for the success that he had. So, yeah, I mean, listen, Kirby has plenty of time to get to the top of the list. He's not going to be number one, though. The guy number one is by a landslide, right?
Nick Saban at Alabama. No, that's not even a debate. 2007, his first year there, 6 national titles, 9 SEC titles, 201 wins. The thing that's interesting to me is out of that top five, there's only 2 still there, 2 still coaching.
He
in college.
Had 9 SEC titles in 17 years, 6 national titles.
If Kalen DeBoer this year, if Kalen DeBoer has a subpar season, and a subpar at Alabama would be what? Doesn't get to a title? Doesn't...
9-3, 8-4 for
and
sure.
And how about misses the college football playoff again?
If he misses it again, does he lose his job? Is
yes,
that what you're
that's
asking?
That's what I'm saying. Is his fate decided?
So I don't think necessarily. I mean, overhauling a coaching staff and thinking you're going to find the next Alabama coach, which will not be easy. I don't even know where you start looking, right? In terms of the pedigree that you would have to, in order to, listen, they're going to be, he's going to have enough problems if they don't make the playoff with just the fan base and everything else. But how it happens, how they look. You know, over that period, how competitive do they win their big games? Do they get upset by the wrong teams? I mean, obviously, Alabama's not a program that can lose to Vanderbilt, right?
Right.
I mean, that just cannot happen in the Alabama world. But remember, Nick Saban, what was it, the famous loss that they had his first
Louisiana
year?
Louisiana Monroe.
Yes. Monroe. Yeah. So. Anyway, fun list, though, for
sure. It is. I'll tweet this out because it is, too, and I think it's. You can certainly debate it 100%. Brian Kelly is on this list. I was like, wait, what? Willie Fritz is on it at Tulane at number 20.
Whoa.
What?
Wow. So I'm going to, speaking of traveling for games, listen, the fact
Dan Lanning not on this list.
Okay. Willie Fritz won a Cotton Bowl against Caleb Williams, which is still... Of all the sporting events I've been to in my lifetime,
yeah,
the fact that I sat in Jerry's World and I watched the Tulane Green Wave. Now, remember where you are if you talk about you're a Tulane fan or a fan of any lesser than. Chris Selfo, great guy, tight ends coach for the Atlanta Falcons. I was talking to him about coaching Tulane. He coached him for many, many years.
Gosh, I did not remember that. What were the years? Can you remember?
No, I wasn't. I was long gone.
It was
gone.
A long time. Okay.
I don't know. You can look him up or something, or maybe Smoke and Joe can help us. Mm-hmm. When did Chris Selfo, Joe, coach Tulane? Until he had a 5-year run at Tulane that was not a good run. Okay? When a coach says to you, my only rule for recruiting, I've told you this, right, was make sure that we weren't at home, right?
Oh, that's hilarious.
If we're going to recruit,
get make
sure.
Get him on the
sure. road. No. You don't get them on the road. They can come to Tulane, but make sure we're not there. Meaning, come to the campus, check us out, we'll recruit you. Because the games were played in the Louisiana Superdome.
Okay.
And there's nothing more depressing than looking at a building with 6,000 people in a game against East Carolina, right? He's like, I could never let our recruits see what our home games were like because it was just so depressing, right?
Right.
Like, you don't want them to see that. That's... a program, and I'll give a shout-out to Doug Hertz, who is a Atlanta legend, right? One of the biggest philanthropists. You know Doug well. He started Camp
He's
Twin
awesome.
Lakes.
Yes.
He was the chairman of the board at Tulane, and he said, we should just, you know, if we're not serious, give up Division I sports. But this is a joke. Like, it's a joke. So they build the stadium on campus, everything else. Not anybody wants to hear me ramble about Tulane, but any fan of any team can appreciate. You got a coach that said, I would not allow recruits to see a home game because that's how embarrassing it was. And then years later, you're sitting in Jerry's World in the Cotton Bowl beating USC. And there's a and I'm just like, that is the most unlikely thing I'd ever think I'd ever see in my lifetime.
That's pretty sweet.
In my lifetime.
That's,
In my daughter. There, score the final seconds, and Caleb Williams had just won the Heisman Trophy, and you couldn't bet Tulane. You couldn't beat Tulane. That's worth crying to your mommy about. Forget about all this other stuff. If you're going to cry to your mommy, cry about that. We just lost to Tulane in the Cotton Bowl. Anyway, we're going to talk more about the Falcons schedule.
Chris Selfo. All right, guys, here's our plan. Don't bring the kids on campus.
Don't let them see the actual home games. Don't let them see. I mean.
Oh, God, that is funny.
And it's a big building, man, with 70,000.
Aren't you so excited, though, to go this year and your kid's going to be there?
She's going to be dancing on the field.
Oh, my God.
She's a cheerleader for Tulane.
Think about that. I'm so happy for you guys.
Opening day, Northwestern, late August.
Is that when you're going?
Yeah, it's
going
to be 100 degrees. My daughter's a cheerleader for Tulane. So it is. Life is crazy, man, right? Cray, cray, cray.
Nola, good for you.
Anyways, when we come back, top of the hour, 10 o'clock, I'm going to ask Joe how I'm doing with this biggest Falcon games of the year. Talk about the most subjective topic ever. I'm also picking some games I want to go to. Like that Washington game is like a friggin' sick game with Jaden Daniels and the Commander fans and everything else. Also, what's your head coach's job when it comes to an injured player saying, I'm playing? I guess you could ask Raheem that question, too.
Or you shouldn't.
Or ask Rick Carlisle, Sports Radio 92.9.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, Atlanta influences everything. And that's Outkast and Usher and T.I. and Luda and obviously... some of the great music of recent generations, and Usher tonight getting the full treatment with the Usher bobblehead at Truist Park. So that'll be fun, awesome. Hey, I just did V103 this morning because I think they said, what better person to talk about black-owned restaurants than Steak Shapiro? I do a V103 every Thursday. And I'm thrilled. You talk about being on a heritage radio station, one of the greatest radio stations in America, and being in Atlanta and do V as I get to regularly. So we were talking about Juneteenth, which is tomorrow. So a great celebratory holiday for Atlanta. If any city should be celebrating Juneteenth, it's Atlanta. So I did do the most popular black-owned restaurants. There's a lot of black-owned restaurants in Atlanta. And I was like, if you don't have a lot of black-owned restaurants in Atlanta—
You're doing it really wrong.
Yeah. So,
what are your throw out three that are your favorites?
Oh, I got such a long list. Stop it.
Let me ask you: do they give you a topic, or you come in with a topic?
It's a collaboration, but they
collaborate and listen. Here's what I love about V103: you just go to the elevators, and I'm like, oh, hey, what's up, TLC? What's up, Chile?
Yeah.
You and I hanging out because they're just down the hall. Oh, hey, T.I. Sandy Golden.
A lot of stars rolling
so
through
fun.
There. So today, the Juneteenth one they came up with, not surprising. I mean, I'm going to give you a quick take. I think our listeners care a little bit.
Of course they do.
About Juneteenth.
It's restaurants.
It's restaurant. It's black-owned restaurants. I'll tell you what the biggest hit was is what happened to Pinky Cole from Slutty Vegan, that whole company went under. So the big problem with black-owned restaurants, really quick, is... it's not there's not a ton in Atlanta. It's the restaurant groups, like big restaurant groups in America. Very few are black owned. Like in Atlanta, Buckhead Life does a phenomenal job. That's Chops and Kima and Bistro Nico and that whole group. Then there's Ford Fry restaurants we talk about all the time, which is the Optimist, Super Rica, Little Ray's, 246. He's got like 12 of them, right? Even Del Bar and some other ones. There's just not African American black owned groups. I think it has to do with funding and entrepreneurs. Like, they're one-offs, right? But the real money is multiple restaurants, right? And when you can build a whole, you know, like every other business, it's...
I wonder what Kevin Rathbone would say to that, who downsized, right?
Like, yeah, he had three and he went to two.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, he also had one of the most successful restaurants in the city. He's doing the biggest steakhouse, and then he's got a KR Steak Bar. But I'm just telling you, there's plenty of black-owned restaurants. There's no groups. Black-owned restaurant groups. That's the biggest shortage, and that's where Pinky Cole with Slutty Vegan was a superstar, and then she sold off to private equity, and the whole thing went south, and she wasn't around, and it's not a good story at all what happened to Slutty Vegan. My buddy Dave from Big Dave's Cheesesteaks does a good job, but you're not making a ton of money just with cheesesteak stores. So anyway, that's a little side. If there is an area where, you know, you need to find more capital and entrepreneurs, it's building out the black-owned restaurant groups like in these other cities that have big groups but not usually black-owned. Rock South on Buford Highway, which is a great soul food restaurant. I love that spot. Breakfast at Barney's. My buddy who runs that is a great guy, Dr. Sanford. Busy Bee Cafe, you heard of that?
I've been there. That's great.
The soul food. Chef Rob's Caribbean Cafe on Roswell Road. Great Caribbean food. They do a great job. College Park's got a lot of really cool places. Milk and Honey is one of them. Pascal's, you been there?
Oh, yeah.
I went the other day to Twisted Soul. I did a review of it. Twisted Soul Cookhouse in Port.
Where's that one?
That is in Midtown.
Oh. Okay.
Virgil's Gullah Kitchen and Bar. They got three of them in town. Sublime Donuts is black-owned. B&L Wings is black-owned. Toast on Lenox is black-owned. Atlanta Breakfast Club. All these breakfast places. Black people love them some brunch and breakfast spots, and they've done a great job with that as well. So
tomorrow, maybe stop off at one of those and let's honor
support
our
it,
friends.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tom, Dick, and Hank Main Street in College Park does a great job. And then don't even get me started on Shea Butter Jones, the burger place I went to, which has gotten so popular that every day they're fighting with
They're mad at you. Don't come here again.
They're not mad at me. but they get some attitude over there. I'm glad that, you know, I have 250,000 views on that. You know, it's the biggest post I've ever done in my entire life. But they run out of food all the time, which is fine. Listen, it's their business, and they get into it with their customers. So if you follow them on social, most of the time they're just lecturing.
They're fighting? Oh,
no. They're just like, you best keep it in line. You come in here, you best keep in line. And then they have their motivation is the soup Nazi from Seinfeld. Like, literally, they, like, post him, and they're like, that's a little bit of what you're going to get if you come to Shea Butter Jones. It's like, hey, you be you. I'm not going to tell you, but, you know.
It's actually brilliant.
Right.
It's brilliant.
And that's how it happens.
People want to go, and they want to film it, and good for them.
Anyways, I want to talk to Joe about the Falcons' biggest games.
Here.
The ones that will. No, I want to talk to you, too, but. Maybe it's not fair to call last year's Steeler game the indicator, because we did go on and win six of our next eight. But I thought that set a terrible tone. Now, I talk about the marketing side of it. When you fill the building up and all those Steeler fans were there and you send your people home with a loss and also showed you that Kirk Cousins may not be great and healthy. So that to me was a key game last year. I think the opener this year, if you're going to fill the place up with these new players and all this hype with Michael Penix, and it's a division rival you beat twice.
No doubt. And, you know, it's interesting, the particular matchup against the Bucks, because, again, to the point we were talking about earlier in the show, everybody, the conventional wisdom is to pick the Bucks and that the Falcons just are not as good as them. The Falcons have beaten them three of the last four times they've played. The one loss that they suffered, the Falcons had a lead, and Baker Mayfield led them down the field in the final minute of the game, converting on at least one fourth down to ultimately seal that game for the Bucks. But the Falcons have played well in this matchup. But I agree with you. I mean, it's a huge game to start off the season.
Do you know how many seasons, Joe, I've been covering the Falcons where we spend those months at Flowery Branch, we spend a whole off season. I always talk about, listen, you're going to get 70,000 in game one, and you need to send those people home with hope and excitement, right?
No doubt.
And if you come out of the gate this year and Penix has two or three picks and we just get beat. And listen, Tampa looks at it like last game we played in Atlanta, we just gave it away. Remember how bad they were with clock management at the end of the fourth quarter? It was the Monday night game that somehow we able to come down and tie it, and then we get the crazy Kyrill Hodge run for the touchdown, right? Okay, so I have that as a big game. What about the Washington game week four, which is another one I had earmarked?
I'm totally with you. I think that this Washington game and the Buffalo game that follows the bye week, it's kind of unfortunate for the narrative that there is this bye week kind of interrupting these two games. But I think that these two games, Stake, are going to be very instructive as to what this team is going to be, and specifically how this defense is being implemented. Because what I see from what the Falcons are doing defensively, obviously they're trying to, you know, improve the pass rush and get to the passer more, be able to sack the quarterback. But just generally speaking, even more broadly than that, I see them as trying to be more athletic defense in order to try to neutralize some of these modern NFL quarterbacks. And I think that no quarterbacks better epitomize that type of style than Jaden Daniels with Washington and Josh Allen with Buffalo. They're at different stages of their career, but those are the kinds of quarterbacks that you have to beat in the NFL if you want to be successful. And the Falcons showed last year that they just could not deal with Jaden Daniels well enough. They were competitive in that game. They could have won that game against the Commanders, but ultimately Jaden Daniels did enough against that defense to beat them, and they've got to figure that out. And I think that these games are going to be very instructive.
I think that's a great point, because you're going to have the juice of a home field, which you didn't have in Washington, right, when you played on Sunday night. You are trying to be more athletic. You're trying to, obviously, when you have two first-rounders on the defensive side of the ball, out of the SEC, saying we're going to match up better against these athletic mobile quarterbacks. Make no mistake, there are certain quarterbacks that are not looking to run. Michael Penix really isn't looking to run. Jaden Daniels and Josh Allen are looking to run.
No doubt.
And that's part of why they're the most dangerous players. And Lamar Jackson, who yesterday, we could play that later, I guess, he's the other example of the modern-day NFL MVP. He's not an MVP because of his arm only, right? He's an MVP because he's a dual threat, mm-hmm. which is why Josh Allen has had the Bills on the cusp of a Super Bowl for years.
Yeah, and I don't think, like, this Falcons defense is not one that anybody expects to be particularly good, but if they can be a league-average defense, that's going to set this team up for a lot of success. And so it's not that they have to necessarily shut down these quarterbacks, but they have to be able to deal better with them than what they showed last year, where you're getting yourself into more advantageous third down situations and able to, you know, take care of some of those situations.
Yeah,
well.
On Sunday, September 28th, they'll play Washington. Now, if they beat the Commanders and they've had a decent four-game stretch, they open the year with Tampa, Minnesota, Carolina, Washington. You will have an entire week off, Sandra, which is, by the way, the worst bye week ever.
Ever.
Week five. You agree, Joe? Doesn't get any worse than that.
Yeah, it's the earliest you could possibly have one, which is bad.
Terrible. And then you come back against Buffalo. But think about the hype in this town. If we get a two-week stretch and Josh Allen and the Bills are coming in and we're pretty good, as opposed to if we're sitting in 1-3 with Buffalo coming in for a Monday night game and you're just like, okay, where's this thing headed?
There could be a lot of mounting pressure, you know, with the off week. You're expected to play well when you're coming off the bye. It's Monday night at home.
I can't tell you how many Buffalo people I know in Atlanta that are giddy. Every 8 years the Bills are here. Every 8 years they are giddy about getting
there's
Buffalo.
There's a big Bills contingent here too. I know there's a bar I play trivia at, or used to play trivia at, that's a big Bills bar.
Which
White
one?
Whitehall Tavern in Buckhead. I've got family.
Our buddy, and if Jeff Woven is listening, his brother, they got the greatest Bills. You know Gio from Antico, massive Bills fan.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make sure I give the right shout out. They do Bills parties there. At his tavern.
Well, all over the country, Buffalo Bills, this is an easy ticket and an easy flight. It's a no-brainer.
That's a
like
great
the away,
point, too.
The away
How many
game.
Of them, Sandra, in October?
Oh, yeah. They're here. They've already booked it. It's done.
Let me give you a couple of
And by the way, you're not. We also haven't mentioned that's a Monday night game, so that's a late finish, and you got to play the following Sunday in San Francisco. So you're short weekend it again.
You got, so tough.
You got four road games. Listen, Mike Smith's thing was, you know, be, you know, close to undefeated at home or 6-2 and go 500 on the road. There's your 10 wins, right? They got four road games, okay, that are eminently winnable if you're a pretty good team. You're going to New England to play Drake May in early November against the Patriots. They're not going to be a great team. They're going to be a lot better. You're playing the Jets Sunday, November 30th. They're not going to be a great team. They're going to be better. You're going to play at New Orleans on Sunday, November 23rd. I was there last year. The Saints roster is probably worse than even last year's roster, right?
Yeah, oh, no doubt, no doubt. They could be one of the worst teams in football this year, so you should definitely be winning that one.
And then you're playing Arizona on the road in December. Arizona, the Jets, the Patriots, and New Orleans, okay? If you don't find a way to, if not split, win 3 out of 4, right, that is not a nasty road test, those four games right there.
Yeah, no. I mean, that is the maybe the silver lining for this Falcons schedule.
Right, is the schedule.
Difficult.
Yeah, and then, Sandra, Indianapolis could be one of the worst teams in the NFL, or mediocre.
Okay, that's fine. Who are you? I mean, I totally agree with what you're saying.
Well, no, my point is,
the Falcons, God.
Listen,
you know what's in our mouth? You know that bad taste in your mouth? It's called Carolina at home hanging 400 yards of offense on you. That's what, just how about we take care of Tampa at home? I agree with what you're saying, but we don't know who this team is next year.
Well, that's why I'm saying.
If
you can't beat those teams, then you're not going to be anything. Like, you just have to, like, this is not a tough schedule. Listen, you think New England thinks they're going to lose to Atlanta?
Exactly. Everybody's talking about us.
And I'm not telling you, I'm telling you that if you are going to be a 10-7 team that win a division, you better beat New Orleans on the road or Arizona or Jets or Patriots or like, these are not the juggernauts. We're not asking you to roll into Baltimore and beat the Ravens, right? We're not asking you to even go on the road and beat Buffalo. We're asking you to beat some mediocre teams on the road.
There's one game that is the most important, and it ain't even a debate. And it is Tampa Bay at home to open
the
season.
Out of the gate.
You send a message to the league, more importantly to your fans. We need to fill that building. We need to trend upward because you ain't done nothing in 7 years.
I agree.
And you've been an embarrassment to this city. Game one against Tampa, be dominant and win it.
When we come back.
My TED Talk is over now.
Oh, yeah, that was powerful.
That was powerful.
Is that off a teleprompter? You did it all on your own.
Oh, my God, all on my own. I'm exhausted.
You're exhausted. Yeah, you're too old for that.
I need a massage.
You see how fresh Joe is, young and vibrant?
I know, right?
And we're just over here. Hey, we will talk we'll talk about whether Halliburton should play tonight. I got a strong opinion. Sports Radio 92.9. Hey, everybody, what's going on? Steak and Sandra. I got to correct a couple of things here. First of all, I would be remiss. The Buffalo Bills Bar Extraordinaire is the tavern at Medlock, right? Am I right, Bo?
Yeah, the place goes crazy for Bills games. That's actually a half mile from my house.
That's the greatest Bills spot, and they do one a year total, like tailgate over the top, like in the parking lot, my buddy owns it. Super smart dude. They do a fabulous job. That's the spot for Bills.
Okay.
In addition, my wife corrected me. Nola is not a cheerleader. She's on the Tulane Shockwave. That's a dance team. Mm-hmm. I was like, listen, let me just call her a cheerleader. No, like nobody, like it's six or half a dozen. Is there?
Well, I don't think people understood you when you often just said like, yeah, my daughter's dancing tomorrow. I mean, that can be a lot of things in Atlanta. Right. So she's literally on a dance team.
Well, no, but I mean,
not to be confused with maybe dancing at a local bar. She's not. She is on a dance team with this progressive
dance. Why do you think people didn't understand when I said my daughter has a dance recital? I don't know.
A lot of times you don't say recital, though. You're like,
my daughter was
dancing
16.
On the,
I don't think they thought she was, like, my point, she does modern dance. I don't know even what you're saying. My point is when I say she's dancing for Tulane.
The Shockwave. Okay.
But I don't think people understand dancing for Tulane could mean like.
So Florida State has the Golden Girls, and then they have a cheerleader. So I get it. Most universities
have. So you do
have,
understand.
Yeah, no. They have a dance team, and then they have the cheerleaders.
Don't call her a cheerleader then?
It's a dance. It's a dance team. Yeah, the Shockwave.
Why does my wife? Why can't my just let it go? So like, I told my wife last night. She's driving home. She said she'd be home in like 15 minutes. She was out with her friend Gina. I knew it would be hours. I knew it. Oh, I just ran into Gina in the parking lot. I'll be home in 20 minutes. I was like, you're gonna be home in 20 minutes. I don't know who to bet in the Indiana-Oklahoma City because it's plus 6.5, but I could have bet every penny in my life that she wasn't going to be home in 20 minutes, that the over-under was an hour and a half. I would have put the over-under at 93 minutes. I'm really good at setting over-unders.
Especially with Gina.
In real-life things,
rock
right?
Star.
Yeah. So that's her friend Gina. They were at Sculpt House. They saw each other in the parking lot. I mean, this is like, you know, this is like
Sirico Fresco is happening.
This is old school 101 that they're not. She's not coming home.
Yeah.
So the over-under was 93.5. She's 2.5 hours later, but she calls me. Hey, what happened? I thought you were heading home. I didn't really care, you know. We're just doing the guy thing because we don't really care, but we have to just kind of, you know, stick it to
them
a little
bit.
Not
only that, you just put it in a file on your head.
Right.
And you go, I get one now.
It's just disappointing, you know. I'm sitting here waiting for you. Yep. And just It just hurts my feelings, you know. No, I get it, right? You know,
I'm just here with the Braves.
So,
down
so I said, I'm hungry. Why don't you stop by and get some Grater's ice cream at Kroger? Because you guys know Grater's. Are you familiar? It's the greatest store, ice cream store bought. They're out of Cincinnati. It's the most phenomenal. It's only sold in certain supermarkets. Comes home. I come downstairs. I'm ready to go. Braves just tied it up, whatever. And I was like, what do we got? Oh, no, I forgot that. I was like, you're 0 for 2. You're 0 for 2, right? And it's like, and then she went to get barbecue yesterday with a client. And I was like, if the client's paying, just don't, you know, order a little extra and bring home for Mr. Steak, you know. And sure enough, I get a text this morning. Oh, yeah, that barbecue I brought you, I left in the car. I forgot. So I would say she's 0 for 3 on
that,
right?
That's a hat trick of
failure. That's a hit, right?
And then, Kimberly,
and then she's
girl.
Peppering me, saying, don't call her a cheerleader. I'm sorry. That's not a day that she needs to be yapping. You agree? I'm sitting there. I'm salivating over that Grater's ice cream. What do you do with this game tomorrow night, boys and girls?
What's
it's
the line?
It's 6.5. The Pacers have not lost 2 in a row, I don't believe, the entire postseason. They're playing at home in front of that crowd. They have stepped up every time. But it does feel like Halliburton is way banged up. They're going to start.
He may not play, right?
Right, he may not play. And if he does, listen, he had 4 points last game and no field goals. So even if.
They were free throws.
Yeah, McCarthy. what is it? TJ McCarthy, the little white boy. That kid is legit. What do you do with that? You want to talk about a conundrum. What do you do with that 6.5-point spread? Does it not feel like Oklahoma City may just run it tomorrow night and say, Indiana, you went as far as you can go, man?
That's how it feels to me. That's right. How it feels to me.
Like you ran out of gas at the end. Your best player's hurt. You've hung in there. But this is clearly the best team in the league. Look at them. They're the best team.
Not the same exact situation, but it kind of reminds me of the Hawks in that Eastern Conference Finals against the Bucks back in, what was that, 2021, when Trae Young lands on a ref's foot to roll his ankle, and it just felt like the steam kind of leaves the team.
I agree. You know? That's a great analogy. I don't know, man, though. 6.5 for a home dog in the playoffs, but Halliburton's not healthy. I don't know, man. It's tomorrow night's the game. Rick Carlisle needs to figure out early if this guy's given the minutes that matter.
If any team is going to kind of pull through this, it would be this Pacers team that's just been on a magical run, truly magical run this postseason.
Yeah, they have no chance of winning 2 in a row. Maybe that crowd gets them, it keeps them in the game. Anyway, that's our NBA talk. Thank you very much. Let's do a belly up.
To circle back to the beginning of our show, we were talking about the games, the word games. They are Wordle, Connection, Strands, and the least popular, but some people play Spelling Bee. It's all part of the New York Times window.
Yeah, that Connections game, by the way, that's second to Wordle now. It's kind of not considered as difficult. My sister-in-law says she plays Wordle every day. And another of those games, it only costs, if you subscribe, you can play online for free.
What I'm amazed at is when you hear the celebrities talk about it, like Matt Damon,
obsessed.
Ben Affleck, and so many movie stars, they were on one, and then the other, Jimmy Kimmel's like, I'm not on that one. So it is obsessed. You're absolutely right.
No, the people are obsessed with it.
This was a little weird to me, and it surfaced a couple of days ago that Stephen A. was playing solitaire, speaking of games on your phone, while watching the NBA finals.
Somebody took a picture of him sitting there front row in the press box, and he's playing solitaire during the game, and that somehow became like, why? Watch the game. You're the number one NBA analyst, journalist.
Journalist! He reacts.
I was doing what the hell I always do, and for those out there who don't like it, kiss my ass. When I'm watching the game, I'm watching the game. If there's a break in the action, it could be a dead ball, it could be a timeout or something like that. I can play the damn thing for 2 seconds.
I don't find it an issue. You'd be hard pressed to go to any game and not see somebody just pull out their phone during a middle.
But also,
break.
That's
so
like a that's
that
like
dumb phone.
You can watch a game and play solitaire. It's almost like second nature. It's the dumbest controversy I ever heard. I don't know why he took it so seriously.
Yeah. It's actually less distracting, in my opinion, to be playing solitaire than to be like reading a Twitter feed.
Totally
and
agree.
Not paying attention
or texting somebody or like. But solitaire is almost like second nature if you play it a lot, and I don't. But, yeah, I don't know what he was getting so fired up about.
Yeah. The ratings are terrible for this series, so that's probably why he was bored playing solitaire.
Here we go again.
Game five. Been the least watched NBA game finals during the COVID bubble. So
okay.
I'm just saying.
So that's 5 years ago. What do you want? It's Oklahoma City and Indiana. I don't know how many times you need to tell.
Listen, I'm just giving you guys the information. That's all I'm saying.
Should we be watching NASCAR instead? Is that?
Don't come at me about NASCAR just because I'm not interested in the NBA and you are. And I am really interested in the NASCAR.
How's those NASCAR ratings?
That's why we're such a great.
By
the way, they've never been better. Ryan Blaney this morning on the morning shift.
Ooh, there you are, zooming around that track.
Hello.
Yeah.
I'd like to bring up something that's really, really like the hate level from Boston for Rafael Devers. Are you serious that he goes in front of Buster Posey and the whole Giants and go, I play wherever they want me to play? That's a bad Spanish accent. He didn't do it. He had the interpreter. But he literally was like, I am a team player.
Oh my God.
Play first. I'll play left field.
Yep, grounders. He was taking grounders at first base yesterday for the Giants. That's like a chef's kiss, right?
Girl.
Mwah. Right?
I'm sure Boston has nothing going on this morning.
That's. Do you see what that guy Davis? He's here for 11 years, couldn't learn how to speak English. Couldn't learn any friggin' English 11 years.
It's hilarious.
I'm done with him.
Yeah, exactly.
Forget about him. We got Roma. In Roman, we trust. Roman Anthony. By the way, the Red Sox lost 8-0 last night.
By the way, you got Tibbs back in that trade. Tibbs went to Florida State. He is a superstar.
He's the first rounder.
First rounder out of
Seminole. Nobody's talking about him. He's in Double A.
Listen, he's from God's country.
No. Is he a stud, though, for real?
He is Mac Daddy.
That was the big guy in the trade.
You're welcome. Welcome, Boston.
Hey, they said the same thing about Vaughn Grissom. Hey, we're getting back Vaughn Grissom from the Braves.
We got to call the aquarium or something.
Yeah. Dude, Vaughn Grissom's like a stud.
Y'all better stop messing with
him. He's like a stud.
That sweet Vaughn Grissom.
Vaughn Grissom is, he's got a.
That's a tuna or something. Jay, look at it. Come on.
Vaughn Grissom should buy a really big compound in Worcester because he's never getting out of Worcester. That's their AAA team. Literally, Vaughn Grissom will never see the field in Boston. All right, when we come back, we'll play some Three Strikes, and I don't know, maybe I'll play Wordle or something. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This is my jam right here.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
Here. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I like it with the little head bop you got going there. Look at you. Big game of the night, John Foy. You know what it is. Show up early. I'm sure they're already lining up for the
Insane
Usher bobblehead.
In the membrane.
Chris
Insane.
Sale on the mound. Snicker was like, okay, we'll show you. I'm going to reset our starting rotation. Chris Sale's going tonight, and you're going to see him again next week. So get comfortable, y'all. 7:15, first pitch. Usher is throwing out the first pitch. And our 10 o'clock hour, as always, is brought to you by the Wisest Guys. It's wiseguysprowash.com. Call them. They'll have it done tomorrow. $20 off when you mention me.
All right, let's give you a three strikes questions. And then we got a few other things. You're going to read some Twitter stuff.
Good stuff on Twitter, y'all. Yes.
So I was trying to figure out what to do with Juneteenth. Which is tomorrow.
It's a holiday for us, you guys, so enjoy.
I don't think people know what business is black owned or not. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't really do that. I can't really mention, I was going to say give us a shout out for a black owned business, but like, I don't know. Do most people know who owns most businesses?
I don't.
I don't think so.
I don't.
I was going to say beautiful black women, like think movies, and I'm thinking maybe that doesn't sound like politically correct. So then I just said, give me your favorite Denzel movie, right?
Perfect.
Maybe the greatest actor of all time. He's also black. And I said, let me tie that to Juneteenth.
Perfect.
Your favorite Denzel movie, okay? The injury to an athlete that crushed your dreams. The injury to an athlete that crushed your dreams. So the Halliburton one, you could make an argument the Tatum one, but I think Knicks are winning that series even if Tatum's playing because they're up 3-1 when they win that game. There was a Kenyon Martin story years ago. Do you guys even know who Kenyon Martin is? Kenyon Martin played for Cincinnati.
Yeah, the basketball player. Yeah, yeah. Was he the number one overall pick?
Well, they were undefeated number one.
That's right. That's right. That's
insane. And he broke his leg, I think, the last week of the season. And it was like, oh, well, your guys are done, right? You got no shot. Who was it that, Florida State just went through that, right?
Jordan Travis.
Yes.
Against some high school team.
Yeah.
And his season's over.
And then we had to hear Sandra just talk about the playoffs. Then for the worst part of the injury was not the actual injury. It was dealing with the Florida State fans whining about their playoff thing for, I mean, weeks and weeks. I would have rather he was healthy that I didn't have to hear that for so long. You know what I mean?
We got robbed.
And then Kirk Herbstreit. And you also broke Kirk Herbstreit.
Now that I didn't like.
Like literally, I think that I think Kirk Herbstreit, all the issues with his doggy is caused by Seminole fans.
Listen, FSU Twitter is for real. Don't piss us off.
Oh, my God. Right?
They should have been in the forest, all I'm saying.
Favorite musician from your hometown? I'm going to guess that we have a lot of transplants listening, right? And, I mean, obviously we know the Atlanta, you know, Mount Rushmore of great music out of the ATL.
Right.
I don't know if you know this. A lot of folks think I went to school in Dahlonega.
Yeah, they're big. You're large in Dothan. People think you're Ross Clark Circle Steak. Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah.
But I'm from Boston. Mm-hmm. What?
So yours is clearly the New Kids on the Block.
Favorite musician from your hometown. Favorite musician from your hometown. I like Dropkick Murphys, but I would say Shay Giles Band. You remember them? Peter Wolf.
Shay Giles played at my grad night. They're amazing.
What?
Grad night, Disney World, they closed it for all the high schools in Florida.
Yeah, because we're
Jay
old.
Giles Band was one
Peter
of the
Wolf.
Bands. That's right.
Jay Giles Band, Centerfold and all that. So they were huge growing up. Boston, that album.
Sure.
The album. So the favorite musician from your hometown. You got one, Bo?
So I don't know. Jared Leto was born in my hometown, but I don't know. He was just born there. Kenny Wayne Shepherd, though, from Shreveport, Louisiana.
Okay. So,
close to where I
You could probably do Louisiana-esque. Where did you grow up, Joe?
Here, Alpharetta. I got nothing.
Well, you could say Atlanta. You could say Atlanta, right?
Okay, that's better. Yeah, a Collective Soul actually is from here. I remember I got my a guitar signed by them at North Point Bay.
Oh, that's
about that?
Cool. That's
you still
great.
Hear them on satellite radio, still touring a little bit as well. So, favorite Denzel movie, the injury to an athlete that crushed your dreams, and your favorite musician / band from your hometown. I'm going to make a suggestion, just some folks listen to it, that we're not going to talk about Tinker and his pet pig that we've done consecutively now during three strikes.
Okay.
And where I've interviewed Tinker because I am fascinated with his pet pig, and Bobby was somewhat scarred by the experience at talking to him and seeing pictures, and he couldn't understand. But Tinker, we're not taking your call today. We do love you. And we're not talking about your pet pig. So somebody other than Tinker, call us, fill the phone lines. Favorite Denzel, injury to an athlete that crushed your dreams, and your favorite musician from your hometown. What do you have from us on
good
social media?
Good tweets today. Thank you for sending in several topics we were discussing. Did you pivot from a workout recently and maybe go from it B? The most we're getting is folks are doing yoga.
Yeah.
They're absolutely doing yoga and used to do strenuous the bicycle routine. Now in my 60s, dumbbell routine 3 times a week and walking and never felt better.
Okay.
When you brought up Grater's ice cream.
Yes.
Tommy says the Grater's that you buy at Kroger is good, but it doesn't hold a candle to the Grater's you get from one of their stores, which they call them parlors.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not in Cincinnati, but yes. So Grater's is
Let's not attack Tommy. Hold on.
No.
Just
hey, Tommy!
Maybe. Yeah.
Hey, Tommy! No. I mean, Tommy's right. That's an actual, like Brewster's here, which I don't think is local. So what's local here? Jenny's or whatever?
Jenny's is phenomenal.
So Grater's is in Cincinnati. It is the best store-bought ice cream of all time. It is phenomenal.
What's your flavor?
Like the big coffee chip.
Oh, nice.
The chips are massive.
Nice.
I mean, I literally cannot recommend it more. But anyway, you got more.
Just one more. Thanks for clearing that up. I did think Steak's daughter was Steak was raising a shoe model. So I did think people just said we're talking about Nola.
You should have never said that.
No, no.
You should not have said
that. I've said it many times because you go like she's dancing tomorrow. I
don't think it.
I don't think people know that your baby Sophie.
When I said my daughter was dancing, what did that mean to you, Bo? Like, was it confusing at all? Like, my daughter's dancing tomorrow.
No, I was thinking you were talking about competition dancing, right. Organized.
Joe, if I said to you, hey, Nola's got to dance tomorrow, what would you?
I get it. I'm just saying. It's confusing.
I kind of think like a recital type thing. Okay. That kind of thing.
So go ahead, Sandy. No, what was the confusion?
No, but see, we also know that she is not a shoe model. Other people may not.
Yeah, and you don't say it. You didn't say her name. You've done it a couple times. I'm just here to keep. I'm part of your family. I'm trying to help you. So, and also one about the black owned multi restaurants.
Yeah.
Steven says that the Taco Mac group is black owned. So he doesn't know that.
He is the president of the company.
Okay.
I don't think he owns it. I forget what the guy's name is.
Taco Mac, Vortex, Mary Max, owned by a black owned group.
Listen.
So good stuff, y'all.
Look it up.
Thank you.
Look, I'm just telling you, most restaurant groups are not black owned, and I'm glad if that's the case. Not a good time to talk about Taco Mac, by the way.
Holy closures.
Just closed.
Mellow Mushroom on Ponce closed yesterday.
Really?
Y'all, that was like the go-to. You go to the Highlands, go to Mellow Mushroom off of Ponce. What's going on there?
It's a tough business. Yeah. Restaurant business is a tough business.
Yeah.
All right? Let's do this. So there's a new ownership team for years. Harold Martin Jr.
Okay.
That's the owner of Taco Mac. Wouldn't return my phone call, so I will say this.
Harold, give Steak a shout out.
No, he's trying to cover Taco Mac, do some business with him. But Harold, congratulations on Taco Mac. That store in Virginia Highland, unfortunately, had to close, but that's okay. All right, let's get to our calls. Why am I airing my dirty laundry out here? That's just not...
One of those days.
I know, I threw my wife under the bus today, the whole thing. Man, we got a lot of calls. Maurice and Alpharetta, give me your favorite Denzel movie.
This is tough, but Equalizer before Equalizer, Man on Fire.
Oh, Man on Fire, dude. I freaking love that movie so much. And that plot twist and just the whole thing. Thank you for that. The injury to an athlete that crushed your dreams.
Kyrie and Kevin Love go down when Steph Curry and LeBron first met. Still mad.
Favorite musician from your hometown?
Easy, Bob Marley.
Dude, you just won with those calls. Hey, Bob and Hiram, the favorite Denzel movie?
Yeah.
Bob. Hey, Bob and
Hiram. Going with John.
What? Go ahead, buddy.
I'll go ahead and crush your dreams.
All right, you have to go. Doug in North Georgia. Doug, give me your favorite Denzel movie.
Crimson Tide.
The injury to an athlete that crushed your dreams.
Nick Chubb injured when we were playing Tennessee.
That was so tough to watch, bro. I couldn't agree with you more. Favorite musician from your hometown?
Band Driving and Crying.
Another good one. Seen them many times here in the ATL. Eric in Marietta. Hey, Eric, what's your favorite Denzel movie?
Malcolm X.
What a performance in that one. The injury to an athlete that crushed your dreams.
When Joe Theismann's leg got broken.
Yeah, that wasn't pretty. Favorite musician from your hometown?
I'm from Augusta, Georgia. James Brown.
Mm. Perfect call. Thank you, sir. Are we at Jeremiah and Carrollton? Is that where we are? Favorite Denzel movie?
Got to go with Training Day.
I mean, the guys, the lineup is second to none. The injury to an athlete that crushed your dreams?
Navarro Bowman, when he got that knee blown out.
And the favorite musician from your hometown?
I got to give it to Brother Walter. I'm from Hawaii, so I claim the whole state.
I love the that's good. That's fine.
Good You're not questions,
literally
yeah.
your hometown. Mm-hmm. John and Union, this is exhausting. Like we actually this,
so many that's nobody's good questions,
nobody's
though, yeah.
calling about their pet pig or anything. Like these just normal calls. John in Union City. Hey John, what's your favorite Denzel movie?
Runaway.
The injury to an athlete that crushed your hopes and dreams.
Jamal Anderson, year after we went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Dallas Cowboys week two on the road. Mike Bell still claims it was the crickets on the field. Remember, field had all these crickets. That he says he slipped on her or something. If we had caught it.
Well, we had them in Fulton County Stadium, too.
We ran a, you know what I'm talking about, yep. Those crickets?
Yep.
Remember they had run a flea flicker the play before. Callaway, the Giants receiver that was on our team, dropped it. Otherwise, we would not have been in that part of the field. I blame him. Give me your favorite musician from your hometown.
Luda.
Thank you, sir.
Not one of those Denzel movies was there's so many to choose from. Nobody
Revenge
said the same
of the Titans.
One.
Is that what you're asking?
Every single caller had a different favorite one.
And by the way, the Equalizer, that was a great call. Equalizer the Equalizer was Man on Fire. That might be my number one, but I got so many. Anyway, are you here tomorrow?
No. Nobody is. We're off. Do you know that we're off?
Wow.
Steak didn't remember that.
I'm going to go be eating in one of them black-owned places. I was telling
you. Yeah, that's a great idea, you guys.
All right. Hey, thank you, Bo. Thank you, Smokin' Joe. Thank you, Sandy. And thank you for making the Steakhouse part of your day. Bye.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.